Today's podcast is sponsored by the people at Aura.com. Now, Aura offers identity theft protection, fraud monitoring, a VPN, password management, and antivirus software all in one easy-to-use app. This means that if your online accounts or passwords are leaked online, you'll be alerted quickly, which means that you can be secure from hackers, scammers, and noisy advertising companies. The narcissists are everywhere. Literally, a friend of mine signed up and Aura found his passwords 9 times on the dark web. So go to Aura.com/Dr. Carter. That's Aura.com/Dr. Carter. And use my link and you'll receive a free 14-day trial. And if you continue, then you'll be able to save an additional 40% off all plans. So thanks to the people at Aura.com for sponsoring this episode.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of the Surviving Narcissism Podcast with your host, Dr. Les Carter. I'm Michaela, the program director, and in today's episode, Dr. Carter will discuss the two sides to a narcissistic trauma bond.
Well, good day to you, Team Healthy. I hope everything's going well wherever you happen to be. We have a worldwide audience here, and I'm so pleased that I get to speak into this topic in such a way where people, no matter where you are, no matter what your circumstance, you can learn and you can grow and you can figure out how to deal with some of the difficult people in your life. Today, I want to talk with you about the subject of trauma bonding, specifically trauma bonding with a narcissist. And I want to talk with you about understanding two sides to the trauma bond. Now, obviously, we're going to be looking at your side, and we're going to do that in the second portion. But I want to first begin talking about how the trauma bond is driven by that narcissistic person. What's going on inside of them that prompts them to be the way they are? So I want to get into that and see if we can get a good understanding of both sides to that equation. Now, first, let's pull back and acknowledge when we talk about having trauma. Actually, we became acutely aware of that whole subject relative to wartime situations or other really strong physical phenomenon like floods and your house burning down and crimes that were committed against you in an awful or heinous kind of way. And we began realizing that there could be circumstances like that where an individual could be so flooded with emotional and other kinds of stimuli that they just simply didn't have the capacity to process it. It was just too much to manage. Well, as the decades have gone by, we've learned that that's not the trauma that a person can experience is not just related to physical kind of phenomenon like that, but it can also be triggered by emotional and relational circumstances. And that's where the situation with a narcissist comes in. When we talk about trauma bonding, we focus on the fact that typically it's inside a relationship where there's a very strong power differential. You have one individual who makes it his or her desire to remain in control over someone else, and how they get to that control is of no regard to them with respect to how it impacts you. The narcissist, being a highly controlling individual, will try to force you to filter your life through them through all sorts of different techniques. For example, let's just run through some of those. The narcissist, when they're creating and perpetuating a trauma bond, will have no difficulty creating ongoing belittlement toward you. I want you to think back, and I want you to consider how many times you've been on the receiving end of some form of belittlement. These individuals will argue over who knows what, and it can be something really large about, you know, let's say about how we're managing our family finances or what we're doing in discipline with the kids or how things are going at work. Or it can be something really small. They'll argue with you about trivia. They just come at you with major anger. And the key there is there's no sense of constructive dialogue, or it's not going in any kind of good direction. It's just simply toxic. Or another way that they can belittle you is through character assassination. It's one thing to say, I don't agree with you. Okay, that's legitimate. But it's another thing to say, you are the stupidest person that I've ever met, or you have no idea what you're doing, or I wonder why I ever hang out with someone like you in the first place. That's what I mean when I say character assassination. These narcissists, in creating a bond with you, go figure, feel like if they can keep you feeling inadequate, if they can keep you feeling inferior, they win. And as a result, they speak to you about guilt-inducing topics. They speak to you in shaming kinds of ways. What's wrong with you? Or why would you do something like this? Or I wish people could see what I see in you because you are such a phony, you know, that kind of thing. They require blind loyalty. You know, here they insult you left and right, and yet you're supposed to give your loyalty to me. They have very strong control features. They have major double standards. For example, I can talk about your problems, but you can't talk to me about my problems. They tend to isolate you. Part of that is by design. They want to keep you away from people who might be supporters or encouragers. And some of it is just kind of as a default. You can feel so depleted that it's like, I don't even want to get out anymore. It may be in a work or social setting. It's like, I don't even want to talk about who I am and what I think because it's all going to get back to that person and it's not going to be good for me. And as a result, you have an incredibly unhealthy attachment. And let's underscore that word attachment. You're tethered to that individual. And yet at the same time, it's all based on insults. And it's based on condescension. And it's based upon that strong power differential that I mentioned. You're left wondering, what am I going to say next that's going to get this person angry? What am I going to do that's going to make this person come down on me? You become guarded and calculated. Sometimes you become every bit as angry in reverse toward them as they are toward you. Often, you can even feel like when you're in public, you have to cover for whatever is going on in that unhealthy relationship simply because you're so embarrassed to have to admit what you're dealing with. That's what we're talking about when we refer to a trauma bond. And then the question is, so what does the narcissist gain from all of that? What's their angle? And the answer is, they're constantly in search for personal affirmation. Let's keep in mind when a narcissist comes down on you in a real hard kind of way, particularly in an over and over and over type of fashion, these individuals are in major compensation mode. They want to make you think that you're the problem because it's a diversionary tactic that they use, even in their own lying to themselves, to make themselves think, if I have any difficulties, look at that person over there, meaning you, you're even worse than I am. Narcissists have an empty interior. And by that, I mean they have a lack of a well-conceived philosophy of life that gives them a sense of meaning and purpose. Instead, to the narcissist, it's all about the grading system. And by that, I mean they're very competitive in the way that they think about themselves and about you. Am I better? Am I worse? Am I smarter? Am I dumber? Am I the most appealing and attractive or the least? And as a result, they're constantly trying to figure out how to get on the high end of that grading system. And one of the best ways to do that, best being in quotation marks, is to find someone who's beneath you, and that's where you come in. So by trying to belittle you and shame you and make you feel as if you're a nobody, what they're doing is they're trying to create a diversion from their own internal confusion. Now, they won't say that because they're not honest enough or even aware enough, self-aware enough to know what's going on. But make no mistake, their condescension toward you is a diversion from their own internal strain. They deny their own true fears, even as they try to create fear in you. And to them, dominance over you means that they win. But actually, that dominance that they feel like they're gaining is merely a cover for their own gross fear of powerlessness. And you can see that there's all sorts of issues that are pushing that. It's extremely important for you to understand that these narcissists are playing in living, emotion right there in front of you. They're playing out their own interior strain and their own interior difficulties. They want to be respected. Okay, I can appreciate that. But they gain respect, so to speak, by insulting other people. They want power. And to a certain extent, power, in other words, the privilege to be whatever they want to be and enact their initiatives. But their power arises from wiping out your capacity to make decisions. They want pleasure. But their pleasure is linked to creating pain in you. They have a lot of hidden anger, and as a result, they struggle with hostility. And as instead of dealing with it constructively, they unload it onto you. And so I'm thinking for yourself, you're probably thinking, hey, I didn't sign up for this. This is not good at all. And it's going to be necessary for you to understand where that narcissist is coming from so you can stay unhooked and you're not going to have the trauma that they want you to have. But because when you are able to pull back and have a certain degree of objectivity, you can realize that these narcissists are unloading much of their strain and difficulty onto you when in fact it's their own tension that's dealing with this. There's something I need you to know and understand as fully as you possibly can. When a narcissist generates and then perpetuates pain, it illustrates that they have no pain management skills of their own. They themselves are in deep pain. In fact, we can take it a little bit further and say, people who live with the ingredients that make up narcissism are living inside their own version of hell. It's like, I don't know what to do with life. They have a pessimism about themselves. They have a negativity that just permeates their personality. And rather than saying, man, that's not right, I need to do something different, what they think is, well, I may have some difficulty, but I'm not as pitiable as you. And so their pain management strategy, if you will, is to create pain in you, and then somehow that makes them better or the winner. And again, you can see that this is all part of their lack of awareness, their lack of insight, and certainly just a straight up illogic. So I want you to think to yourself, what are some of the signs that I need to watch for that imply that I myself am caught up inside that trauma bond? How can I know that I am being played? How can I know that I'm feeding right into this? Because the more you see what's going on, and then you're not going to be able to change that narcissistic person in all likelihood, but you can think, you know, there's some patterns inside of me that I need to make sure that I do not stay caught up in, because all that means is I'm dancing the dance with the narcissist. For example, let me give you a few things for you to watch for within yourself. Do you find yourself getting caught up in control battles? And by that, I mean the narcissist can come at you with a lot of insistence and persuasion. It's what I refer to as the agenda with a capital A. They have all sorts of ideas as to who you're supposed to be. Do you find yourself becoming controlling in reverse? Listen to your tone of voice when you talk to that narcissist. Do you go into a persuasive form of communication? Do you plead your case? Do you try to speak in convincing terms? Are you heavily stubborn in the way that you react to them? And what you can see is that's you mirroring them. And as long as you keep doing that, the narcissist is thinking, we've got a game going here. And guess who's going to win and who's going to lose? So watch for your tendency to get caught up in control battles. Or another indicator that says you're caught in the bond there that's unhealthy for you is I want you to notice how heavily you find the need to defend yourself. For example, when the narcissist comes at you and they accuse you of something that's irrational, Do you feel like you have to justify who you are and give an excellent explanation and rationalize why you made decision A instead of decision B? Do you find yourself being very guarded and cautious and calculated? All of those that imply that there's a defensiveness. And I just give you a foreshadowing. I have this notion that says, why do I need to defend that which needs no defense? What the narcissist is succeeding, in quotes, in doing when they create this defensiveness in you is they're making you think, yeah, you owe me an explanation. And the more I know about you, then the less well off you're going to be. What if you were to decide, I'm just me? And being me doesn't really require a whole lot of defense. The narcissist wants you to think that way, but you don't really need to go that. But the more consistently you get caught up in your heavy defensiveness, the more it implies you're in the game. I'd like for you to be aware of my video courses. One is entitled Ready, Set, Connect. Now, narcissists are quite capable of throwing you off balance, so this course keeps you focused on the skills and the mindset that are necessary for positive connections. And inside the course, we have various modules that, and inside each module are lessons, and each lesson contains a video, written documents, and then questions that go along with it. We'll discuss things like how to have good conflict resolution skills, building empathy, how to be the authentic self that you need to be. If you're interested in enrolling, you can go to our website, survivingnarcissism.tv, click the link for courses. You'll find Ready, Set, Connect there, as well as the others. I hope that you would find them to be quite helpful.
And now back to Surviving Narcissism with Dr. Carter.
Or another indicator that that shows that you are caught up in this trauma bond is how many times do you find yourself going into the appeasement mode? That there can finally be a time where you can think, okay, I'll just say or do whatever I have to do in the moment to get that person off my back. Just go away. Leave me alone. Quit it. And you can have that kind of mindset to the extent that you find yourself going into the people-pleasing mode way too much. You find yourself being dishonest about what you really feel, and you're constantly in a concession mode. And it's like, well, short term, you can get them off your back, but long term, it just perpetuates your feeling of resentment and that narcissist feeling of power over you. Or another indicator that says that you're still caught in the trauma bond is that you can keep secrets. Now, the truth is, I understand when you think to yourself, I don't want to tell the narcissist what I'm thinking or feeling or doing or what my plans and priorities are, because all it's going to do is create an argument. Well, that makes kind of sense to say I want to avoid that. By the way, it's fair game to say that you want to have a sense of discernment with respect to how you reveal yourself to the narcissist. And so there are times when it's like, I'm just not going to reveal who I am to someone who's an incredibly unsafe person. I get that part. But what I'm saying is there are times when I've heard people talk about, for example, they spent $15 at lunch. And it's like, well, I don't want the narcissist to know about that because I'm going to get called down on that. And so you keep stuff like that a secret. Or you're going out with somebody and it's completely legitimate, whether it's to discuss business issues, if it's at work, or if it's a social setting, or if it's a relative. And it's like, I don't want that narcissist to know who I'm being with, because they're going to go behind my back and say ugly things about me. And you find yourself just thinking in a real calculated way, what can I and then what can I not reveal about who I am? And it becomes a game that just becomes very confusing. And then another indicator that says that you're caught up in that trauma bond is that you have this chronic undertow of tension or annoyance or irritability or agitation. Whenever the narcissist is around you, it's like, ugh, there that person comes again. And negativity comes along with all of that. And as a result, it just creates a tension inside of you that can lead to all sorts of undesirable behaviors. For example, it might be the fuel for you to become rebellious, like, I don't even care anymore. And so you wind up acting in ways that are not in your best interest, or it could be that you find yourself just having an insulting kind of communication. Nah, this person's an idiot. And you find yourself just having that kind of negativity. Those are the signs that says you're in it. The narcissists, they're in heavy compensation mode. They're trying to build themselves up at your expense. And then when you go along with these games that I'm talking about here and play along, it implies you are indeed playing into their manipulations. They see you as narcissistic supply. That is, they look to you to give them the excuse that they feel like they need to hold themselves superior over you. You can't change the way the narcissist thinks, but you're not required either to go along in ways that actually perpetuates their neurotic and their dominating and irrational kind of thinking. One of the things that I listen for that tells me that a person has probably been in a trauma bond for quite some time is one simple phrase, and that's the phrase, I lost myself. I wonder how many times that you've had that kind of thought where it's like, you know, I used to be a really friendly person, or I used to be more optimistic, or I used to be somebody that had a positive outlook on life. Now, I don't even like what I've become. And I don't really give as much priority as I probably need to for my own personal self-care because I'm just so worn out. And you feel defeated, you feel futile, you feel embarrassed for being in the situation that you're in. And so many times you can say, I just feel like a shell of the real me. We can't let that happen. Now, I'm going to go back and underscore something. If the narcissist refuses to adjust, which is highly probable, they won't adjust, then you're going to need to individualize your growth separate and distinct from them. So I want to see if I can walk you through some of the things on your side of the equation that you can focus on to keep you outside of the trauma bond. The narcissist desperately needs you to play your role as they're trying to find compensation for their inner sense of chaos. But you know what? You don't need to play that role. That's been assigned to you by them. But keep in mind, we're dealing with a very unhealthy and psychologically immature person. No. Now, the first thing that we want to do is we want, number one, is you are trying to break away from the trauma bond. Remind yourself, I have a separate and distinct personality. The narcissist wants you to conform your personality to them. They want you to blend your temperament type into what they say it ought to be. But what if you were to decide, no, I'm not going to be what the narcissist says I'm going to be. I'm going to do a lot of self-discovery. I'm going to determine what my unique strengths and weaknesses are. I'm going to remind myself what my preferences, what my priorities, what my opinions are. And I'm going to lean into all of that. And it's so interesting when I've spoken with individuals about something like this, I'll almost get a surprise kind of reaction like, you mean I can really do that? I remember so well one person talking with me about how her mother was the most overwhelming and dominating and intrusive person she had ever known. And I mean, we're talking about a person who's in her mid-40s, the daughter of the mother. And I mentioned to her, you know, when your mother makes all these demands, you realize you have the permission to say no. And she just had this kind of surprised look on her face like, oh, I never thought about that before. Well, you can. You have your own separate, distinct self, which is why you feel so frustrated that narcissist wants to step all over you. But listen to what your frustration is telling you. In your frustration, you're saying, basically, I want to be who I am. Well, let's start with the declaration that says, therefore, I'm going to be who I am. I owe that to myself. Now, taking it a step further, a second thing I'm hoping you can focus on as you're breaking away is remember one word that can define who you are, and that's the word free. You have the freedom to think and feel and prioritize for yourself. You're not required to filter your decisions through that other person. You're not enslaved, even though the narcissist wants you to think that way. You're not inside a cage. You're not tethered to that person. You don't have to ask permission to feel and think and do whatever comes along. Let's start with the presumption you're capable. You're competent. You have the ability to weigh out the pluses and minuses of whatever decisions you're wanting to make. That's what freedom is about, giving yourself the privilege to choose who you're going to be. And then when the narcissist comes along and says, well, I think you're stupid, or I think you're making a really major mistake, okay, the narcissist is free too. They're free to think whatever negative thoughts they want, keeping in mind, though, they have an agenda that's behind that. And yet, whenever the narcissist ridicules you or belittles you for you claiming your freedom, slow down and remind yourself, why is that person so afraid of me being free? And it's not about you, it's about them. And that being the case, go ahead and be the free you nonetheless. Now, in addition, let's take it a little bit further. It would be so necessary for you as that free person to determine for yourself what a successful life consists of. What traits do you want to have most commonly dominate your personality? I'm guessing that you would not choose traits like, well, I'd like to be a really angry person, or defensive. Yeah, sign me up for that. Or I'd like to be somebody that consistently hides everything and keeps secrets. No, I don't want to be that kind of person. Okay, so what kind of person do you want to be? I want to be logical. I want to be respectful. I want to be an understanding person. I want to be confident. I want to be decisive. I want to be patient. I want to be understanding. I mean, there are all sorts of healthy characteristics you can come up with. It's necessary for you to slow down and take the time to define yourself. What are the core ingredients that I need to be known for that give me a sense of a pleasure and gives me a sense of purpose? And then I'm going to go ahead and lean into that. And then let's take it another step as you're trying to break away from the trauma bond. And that is identify the most vulnerable moments when you're not inclined to be the kind of person that you want. So in other words, if the narcissist comes along and says, you don't share my opinion, I think you're an idiot, or you can't do this, and they start their control game, what would happen if you were to decide, well, for me to go along with the narcissist means that I would have to act upon ingredients that are not consistent with my well-defined idea of who I want to be. And so the more you're able to identify what those episodes or scenarios are where you're being required to pull away from the real you, I'm hoping you can remind yourself, even in those moments, I'm still going to be free. I'm still going to allow myself the privilege to decide for myself who I'm going to be. And as a result, you're not going to just lay down your initiatives. It's like, no, I know what my vulnerable moments are. And especially in those moments, that's when I'm going to practice my own self-care. I had a woman who once kind of summarized her growth with respect to a very difficult person in her life. And she said to me, you know, I finally had to realize that this person who's been giving me so much difficulty is unhealthy, is a sick person. They have a type of mental disease, if you will. Actually, it's a character disorder, which is more more profound and more entrenched than, let's say, a mood disorder. But I just had to think of that person as having a type of a brain disease or a personality disease. And it wasn't demeaning. It's just a matter of realizing this person is sick and they're not pulling out of it. Therefore, I need to come to terms with what that means to me. So what we're going to say is you'll need to go back to your basics. I'm hoping you can, in fact, decide, you know, the narcissist stands for anything but love and respect and honor and decency and healthy connections and self-care. The narcissist doesn't appreciate that, but those are my basics. Those are my fundamentals that I just simply don't want to walk away from. So we go back to the two sides of the trauma bond. The side on the narcissist that person is in such heavy compensation mode, trying to make themselves out to be a somebody because of their fear of actually being a nobody, and that goes way deep into their own background. And then you have your side where you become so intimidated by that power differential that you find yourself getting caught up in all of the traps and snares that they put in front of you. Let's remind ourselves, it's so necessary for you to see what you're dealing with and realize that you do in fact have the ability to choose for yourself. Love who you are. And if anybody wants to perpetuate anything that's inconsistent with love, love who you are all the more. Be patient with yourself. Refrain from defending. And check your propensity towards cynicism. You don't want to get so caught up in the negativity that that person creates that you find yourself going into a dark place. But become an encourager toward yourself, and then seek out other individuals who perhaps have had some similar experiences. And they'll appreciate it, and you'll be a better person for it. Have your anger in an assertive kind of way. And by that, I mean having consistent and healthy boundaries. But don't be defined by your anger. Carve out plenty of time to seek peace and joyful exchanges and solitude. I find that one of my ways of doing it is getting out in nature, and build upon the courage to be yourself. Okay? So trauma bonding is in fact a very common and prominent theme between the narcissist and the recipient. And what we're going to say here is you have choices, and I'm hoping you can say, I choose me. I choose healthiness, and I choose all of the decision-making that goes along with that. So I hope this gives you something good to think through, and I just so am pleased that you allow me to be on your journey. Team Healthy, you know I'm pulling for you, and I'm hoping that these podcasts, along with the videos that I have on the Surviving Narcissism YouTube channel, are something that are a part of your growth. Thanks for letting me be on that path with you, and I'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening. Surviving Narcissism is the product of many years of work done by Dr. Les Carter. Dr. Carter is a best-selling author and therapist with more than 40 years of experience, specializing in anger management and narcissistic personality disorder. You can find more content from Dr. Carter on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube at Surviving Narcissism, as well as on his website, survivingnarcissism.tv. Thank you for joining us for this week's podcast. We are so glad to have you on Team Healthy.